What's up, Bottom Nation? What's up, Bottom Nation? I hope you didn't turn the volume up for that, because that would have been a rude awakening. Yes, another week, another pod. And I'm coming to a bunch of places. I'm coming to Pittsburgh. I am coming to Madison, Wisconsin, Southern California. We're lining up dates for upstate New York. We're lining up dates for other places. And I'm shooting my special in Chicago. So get on the text alert for that. Patreon.com/WHGS. We are going full steam on recording a bonus episode every week for you guys. So we're going to be getting those 4 bonus episodes to you very soon every month. Thank you for your patience during this transitional period. Yeah. And then today, we have a comedian and friend of mine, Bailey Pope, on the episode. It's the last episode recorded in my old apartment, which is super cute. Bailey's story is so great. We get into coming out as trans during her marriage and then also some ghost hunting. So a great mix, a little mixy mix of things. Okay, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of my life.
Listener, this episode is brought to you by Helix, my absolute favorite mattress. I am getting the best sleep of my life on a Helix. And you can too if you go over and take their little quiz. Their 2-minute quiz is going to match you with the perfect mattress for you, and you'll be sleeping like a baby in no time. And right now, Helix is offering 25% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex and use code HelixPartner20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
So when I first came out as trans, I was going to like sex parties in the city here, and like they were like have like incredible parties, like really sweet, like people, like very like supportive, and like it was like where I got like really like validated for who I was, and I was like able to like really like hook up with like all sorts of different people. And I remember at one point I was like going to these, and I would go early, and I'd like volunteer to help set up. Like, I'm so boring, actually. I just wanted to be there. Yeah,
party.
It was very, very hot.
It's like so cute.
Wait, that sucked. Nope.
Please open with that. I demand that you open with you critiquing your own air horn usage.
It's got to be exactly right.
It's true. It does have a certain cadence.
So, like, what connotation is it? You wouldn't be like, oh yeah, oh.
You'd be like,
that's not cool. It's supposed to be like the oh shit.
That's
oh shit. That's not cool.
No, it's not. That sounds like Morse code. That sounds like DJ Khaled is trying to catch the Nazis. That's what that sounds like.
It's like, you know, in Interstellar when he goes through the back of the Tesseract, but it's like through a DJ booth and he's.
I don't know the reference. What are you talking about?
Interstellar.
Do you know?
I've seen it and I don't remember this, so it didn't impact me
so
at
it's
all.
A bad so it's a bad reference.
I hate your reference.
I love like
Alex, you're a film guy. Interstellar.
Which scene?
NYU Tisch film school.
All right, so I gotta get it together.
Well, I loved it. I thought it was a really fresh, good riff up top. At
Thank
least
you.
The part with I thought my riff was pretty good. DJ Khaled trying to
honestly, you liking it and then all of us being uncomfortable was exactly what it sounded like.
And scene on the air horn riffs. Very, very good. We're in the apartment. We're having gay sex. This is a special episode. This is a really special one, and I'll get into it in a second. But I'm going to, for the first time ever, introduce our guest within moments of starting.
Big day.
It only took me 2.5 years. But
Big
here
day.
We are.
Big day. Great job.
We have comedian Bailey Pope here on the podcast.
That's
we met at Limestone Comedy Festival.
We did.
You've
we
been
did.
On Sunday school.
We met in LaGuardia, to be fair.
Yeah, we did meet at LaGuardia.
And it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet to meet.
Oh,
I think
no,
you were,
it was
like,
not time.
Yeah,
was it a weird all. First interaction?
I didn't find it weird. What
I know, but I just remember being like, we'll get to know each other later. You know, and that's all I remember.
It was like 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
See you at Limestone.
It was probably, so Limestone is a comedy festival in Indiana, and a bunch of comedians from New York went, and we were all on the same flight.
right? It was Caitlin Palufo was on that flight.
Us, Ari.
Yeah.
Ari and Emma were there when we landed.
Yeah. But it was really, really fun. I love your stuff. You're a great comedian. I got to be honest, I didn't do a deep dive on your background.
That's
she's really she's really funny. I just want to have her on the podcast.
I'm glad to be here.
What other stuff do you have going on?
You know, I mean, I've been just working really hard with stand-up stuff, but I also started doing some acting stuff lately, and that's like something that makes me uncomfortable, and I like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm actually doing my first lead in like a short next month.
That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
Congrats.
Great.
Yeah, thanks.
And I've noticed you have a mailing list. You are one of very few comedians I see doing the same thing that I do.
I was doing email until we did one of our shows, and I saw that you did text.
I do both, but I prefer the text. I'm trying to migrate over to text entirely.
See, I probably should do both. I don't know. I switched it to phone after we talked about it. But yeah, I just feel like, because I'm newer in stand up than both of you, definitely. And I want to just figure out how to not fuck up, you know, my time.
I think no one's going to care about this, but I think the number one thing that I did is not that I'm a better comedian than people, but I started that mailing list day one of stand up, and it made promotion and marketing.
I had been doing that for 7 years. That would have been great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just start now.
Yeah.
Go sign up for Maddie and Bailey's mailing list right now. What are your ads and handles and all that?
Instagram is The Actual Bailey Pope, or you can find everything on my website at baileypopecomedy.com.
You have a famous sounding name.
I've
Doesn't
heard
Bailey
that.
Pope
that's
sound famous?
It's
wild. A cool name.
The last name was somebody else's idea, but I picked the first one, so there's that.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm a mess, so I'm fully a mess. Can we just... I need to know... This is not an episode of we're having gay sex. This is an episode of we're having gay hex. Well, maybe this will actually be my story. Because the reason...
Wait, hex as in CKS or hex with an... like
with
H-E-X,
an X, I'm cursed.
Like a curse, okay?
I'm convinced that someone is put something on me. You know, we have a lot of gay queer listeners, and they're super into
witches
stuff. And I don't believe in... I don't really believe in that
stuff. But you're so nice to them. Why would they ever do that?
Well, if you don't believe in it. It's not like I scream at them all the time at shows on this podcast. Yada, yada, yada. You know?
You might just have your comeuppance.
Yeah, I think it's just time. Well, but this is the last episode that we're recording in this apartment before I move.
I feel special.
Yeah. Or just fucked because we're moving into a better place so that we have a dedicated studio that we, you know, and it's not my shit everywhere.
So actually everybody else had a decent experience and I'm having...
You're having the worst experience possible.
Okay. I'm going to, you know, think about this.
All right.
Figure out how I feel.
Wait, let's do intros. I need to come up with a thing for you.
For me?
Yeah. Hall monitor, virgin hall monitor.
Wait, I thought we had it.
No, I come up with a different rhyme or...
It's different every week.
Time. Well, the one I come up
with. Oh, you find a different way to bully me every week?
That's God. Part of the magic of the show.
I thought it was the same. I thought I could build an immunity to it.
No, absolutely not. I'm bend over. Sorry, that was weirdly sexual. I don't know why I did that way. That was not necessary. What are things that you... associate with like a nerd? I did pocket protector.
Okay, you got
hall pass.
Like, you know,
teacher's yes. pet. Okay, okay. Oh, welcome to the podcast, man. Air horn, poorly. That was really good, honestly.
Yeah, pretty,
and I liked good. Your yeah, little yeah, additions was... to that as well. I'm Ashley Gavin, cis gay white woman. She/her pronouns. Go sign up for my shit, you piece of shit. AshleyGavin.com. Tour dates, all that. We've merch is back. Blah, 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 patreon.com/WHGS. And then, as always, the Virgin Hall Monitor to keep me from getting canceled. This teacher's pet hasn't had sex yet. It's Maddie Wiener.
Hello. I'm Maddie Wiener. Gender is, I'll get back to you when I know it. And she, they... bisexual, and I've had sex with men, but Tashi, that doesn't count.
I love that you clarify that you're only a half virgin every time, but full virgin to me. Very special. Honestly, a delicate flower. You save your flower. It's important.
Thank you.
And Bailey, do you mind introducing yourself
with
whatever the people at home might need to know?
Bailey Pope, trans woman, she, her, That's it, right? Those things. Yeah, I fucked all sorts of people, but I've been monogamous to one woman for like 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second. I want to do a bit every week now where you explain your excuse for not having sex this week. Why didn't you have sex this week?
I started taking Prozac again. I did, and I don't even need it. I'm like a totally like... just grandma.
Why did you go back on it if you don't feel you need it?
I do feel I need it. The question is, why did I go off it? the question is, why did my judgment lapse? I haven't found a doctor.
Because you feel bad. That's the whole thing.
You feel better. You're like, I don't need meds. What are they even doing to me? And they're like, they're holding your life together is what they're doing for you. It's not good. So I did that and my OCD got really bad to the point that like, I had a like 45 minute panic attack on stage during a headlining set. And I was like, oop, okay. Oh, it's so messing up my life
that,
now.
What does that feel like? I've only ever had panic. Have you ever panicked on stage?
I've not.
I've only had one moment of panic. I think I described it on this podcast where two queers in the front row at the San Francisco Pride show had other plans, got up and walked out of my show. They were in the front fucking row. I was like, why are you leaving? They were like, we have tickets to something else. I was like, if that's the excuse you made up, like, go fuck yourself. That was the only time I've ever had real spiral panic on stage.
This is how I know that mine is like mental illness, because it's completely unprompted. It's like OCD, and it'll just be like a random. But I've been having panic attacks since I was 7 years old.
What like does regularly? I don't think we've ever fully said this. What is it? Do you have panic attacks?
I don't.
I don't either. I don't. I've never had one. What does it feel? I've seen one.
It feels like you're dying or like going to hell. Like for me, it's like I'm like, I need to go to a hospital. I need someone to like, yeah. Like it's, I don't know how to really describe it except for like the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. Like, or it feels like you're going crazy. It's like they can vary, but it just feels like every fear knob in your head just got cranked up to 10.
Have you watched, okay, say Ted Lasso, actually, like they have a scene where he has like a panic attack.
Oh, really?
And I feel like it's the best way I've ever seen it. Like, portrayed.
Oh, we should watch it.
I don't know if you haven't seen it. Ted Lasso, it's like on Apple TV.
What does it look like in the...
He really is just like sort of shutting down, and it's like he can't even figure out what to do with his hands, and he's just kind of like, it's like this very like, he's so positive, and then until he like has something that sets him off, and he's like, I just can't function. I mean, he like has to just go sit on the curb, and it's like really interesting how they portray it.
I witnessed one, and it was the scariest shit I'd ever seen. My girlfriend at the time started slurring.
Yeah.
And she was having trouble breathing. Our listeners at home who like work in health are about to like roll their eyes so hard at me, but I was a waterfront lifeguard. So I am the expert in the room, actually, over Maddie, who's had several. I am a waterfront lifeguard. So I immediately thought she was having a stroke. From the stroke.
Yeah,
speech.
Wow.
So
they train you for strokes when you become a lifeguard?
You just learn all the different signs of heart attack and not panic attack. They do not teach you panic attack at lifeguard school. Wouldn't that be so funny? We're like flipping through, we're doing like stroke, heart attack, and it's like, okay, gay people.
Like, why does the lifeguard handbook have ADHD in it?
The lifeguard. I actually bet you today that Gen Z kids trained to be lifeguards.
The guide to neurodivergent swimmers.
That's so funny. Were you ever like a lifeguard or anything like that?
Fuck no. I'm like, if I was afraid of one thing, it's deep water. Like, I don't know what it is. If I can't see the bottom, there's definitely sharks. Just that. Like, I'm so afraid. And like, I remember even like the pool at my grandma's house growing up, I was like, not even looking over there with goggles, because I don't understand it. I know I can't handle it. Fuck it.
It is beyond the reach of man.
Not for me. No.
So what did the one on stage, what did you do? Did you keep doing your material? Did you just go on
autopilot? I think
autopilot?
I repeated a joke at one point. I was so out of it. I was like kind of dissociating, like watching words come out of my mouth. It was really top 10 worst life experiences, to the point where I was like, okay, so we do need the meds. I think I got off stage like a little bit early. The club owner was really nice about it, but it was like,
Do you think the club owner even noticed?
I think people probably just thought I was bombing. I think it just seemed like a bad set.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I've seen those all the time.
Right. If you don't know what a panic attack feels like, have you ever bombed for 45 minutes on stage?
It would be a pretty nice cover if I just had a horrible set and I was actually having a mental health crisis.
Oh, I should have used that last time. Yeah.
They would have loved that. Everyone would have started applauding for you.
I'd be a hero.
We've talked about this so much, but I've mentioned in my set that I've struggled with pretty severe depression. Mm. And people give me more applause for stating that I've struggled with severe depression.
So brave.
Right, exactly. And then when I talk about recovery, I don't get the applause. And I'm like, applaud for the recovery.
That's so crazy.
Like, the recovery is like the beautiful thing. So I do think that you probably could have just been like, sorry, everyone.
I need to be real with you guys right now.
I need to count five things that are red right now.
And all of your faces are red.
What are all these tomatoes doing flying in my...
Getting hit in the face of tomato. Thank you. This is really grounding right now.
None of these tomatoes are laughing.
Oh, look at that. All right. I think we're bantered out. Yeah. Right? I don't know. My gay sex from this week. I think I had the last gay sex that I will have in my studio apartment.
Oh my gosh.
Nice. So I wanted to do an... Burr.
Well, I didn't know if I should make a happy noise or a sad noise.
I don't know. I mean...
That's no, it's more of an applause.
Thank you.
It's happy. It's happy.
Yeah. I just thought not a lot of people realize how small this apartment is and that I lived here through the pandemic and I started my podcast in here. This podcast. My podcast. This one, the one we're doing now.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
Yeah. We're doing a podcast.
Can you? Oh, that's why that guy is in the corner.
Yeah. We keep a straight guy in the corner at all times. Not for the podcast, actually, but for just my life. I have a, we put Alex in the corner and we occasionally throw him some bread and, you know, whatever. And I have sex in front of him. He's right there in front of the bed. This bit is not landing at all. And
I just thought that if you had an apartment in this neighborhood, you came with a straight guy in the corner.
Oh yeah, finance bro. He just works in. He just works on Wall Street.
Ashley's squatting here, actually.
It's his apartment. I just managed to get him. I don't know how I did it. I think he was on cocaine, maybe too many drugs. Got him in the corner. I've been here a really long time. Conceptualized the podcast in this apartment. Had the majority of sex on the podcast, maybe, I don't know, a lot of the sex on the podcast happened in this apartment, and I don't know, I don't think people realize when they're not here, the apartment is not walkable right now. There's tripods between the bed and the coffee table, between my coffee table and where all the media is, you know, for the podcast and the storage. And it's been like a real crate, and the mics sit on my coffee table. I don't have a table, and you know, and I think people don't know like what a weird, I feel weirdly connected to this space because it's like been my whole life. So I just wanted to do sort of an ode to the apartment today.
It's sort of symbiotic. It's like you're like everything probably exists together because you can't fucking walk if you have a ring light up.
Right. No, you can't. Yeah.
It's so intimate because it's like you live here and you work here and it's all kind of like folded into one space.
Yeah. And, you know, my friend's over here and I have sex right over there. Unfortunately, sometimes on this couch. I don't know if that's sexual harassment to you.
That doesn't bother me.
Okay, great. I'm glad I got consent after the fact. I ate ass for the first time in this apartment.
Well, yeah, that would happen in this neighborhood too.
I had my first multiple people in the same day.
Okay.
In this apartment.
Oh my God.
Are you okay?
wait, like a threesome or just back-to-back
appointments? No, just a really, really packed out day.
Oh my God.
No, okay, wait. Was it like a morning and then night or was it like 3 o'clock and then six?
We debated.
Okay, never mind.
We debated. No, go on.
Okay, I guess if it was three and six and you're like, no, but not at night, only during the day, like right before dinner. I need to get the second one in before dinner.
So you tell me, I had a date planned in the morning and then a date the night before. So I had sex with the girl the night before in the like 11 p.m. to midnight period. Morning, had brunch. Didn't expect to have sex with this person, but we did after brunch. And then that evening I had another date. It was the only 2 days. It was, yeah.
Oh my God.
It was pretty intense.
I think this apartment has superpowers then.
Well,
I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. Straight couple tries to buy it, they're just going to hit it with a force field at the door.
They're like, why do I want to adopt a cat all of a sudden?
The AC's broken. They're going to be like, why is there pussy juice condensing on the walls like the side of a glass?
But that's the other thing about, I had my first healthy relationship in this apartment. That's pretty cool.
That's good.
I had an insanely toxic breakup in this apartment.
Healthy relationship, toxic breakup?
No.
Different person.
Different people. Insanely toxic. You know, my ex lived in this apartment as my ex for 10 months in this apartment.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
There's nowhere to be private.
No, there's nowhere to be private.
I wouldn't want to see my ex more than once a week for 10 months. You know, like.
Yeah. But this apartment has seen me through like my entire, from what we talked about earlier, my most severe point of depression to getting happy to the concept of this podcast to a healthy relationship to, you know, some sort of success. And like every healthy relationship, this apartment has deteriorated into a toxic relationship and it is 100% time to break up. My AC is broken. I cannot walk. And last night, my ice box broke and something happened in the freezer. So the ice all melted, but the ice box kept creating ice.
Oh my God.
So it flooded the full first half of the apartment. Jesus. And that's why I was like, I'm going to cry on this episode. I'm so tired.
Oh,
so yeah, last night, I don't know if this is a good episode. Alex, how am I doing? I feel weird. Am I just self-conscious?
You're doing fine. I don't know. It's a retrospective.
Yeah.
So we're here to celebrate.
Yeah, this is emotional.
Yeah.
Celebrate, like, cry about it.
Yeah. And thanks to you guys, next week, I move. I have a separate space. I never have to live, eat, have sex. Well, I might have sex in my place of work, but in theory, I can never have sex in my place of work.
The basic human functions, live, eat, and podcast. Live, laugh, podcast.
Is that what's on the... Okay, I was wondering if it was on your pillow.
You should get a live, laugh, podcast sign.
Live, laugh, podcast is the funniest, like... What do you think? Do you think Joe Rogan would have that? Is that like the straight bro equivalent of live,
Joe
laugh,
Rogan's
love?
Like life would put that up.
Right.
Like, I just wanted to support you, honey.
Like Affliction script, you know? Like, you remember Affliction shirts? All the fighters would wear like heart fucking dragons and tattoo art.
Live, laugh, podcast. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been very much live, laugh, podcast and my whole life in here. So yeah. And I don't know. But this is the big question now. Am I breaking up with this apartment? And so it's just, you know, sometimes relationships, they go on for too long and they take a turn. Maybe this is the meat of this, Alex. Maybe relationships go on for too long and they take a turn and things go sour. And then you're just staying together. You're going through the motions, like me in this apartment, even though it's clearly we've outgrown each other.
I agree with that. I was married for so long, and I so wildly too long. But like I say, like, if we were married and for as long as it was right, and then like it was obviously not, and then we were done. And like, I don't think it was a failure. I think it was right for when it was right. And then we both learned that we liked everything except for each other. And, you know, we didn't get to learn that except through each other.
Well, do you think you were in it too? Because I have been I am a chronic stay in relationships too long person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I did that with my last relationship that was healthy. I think we, you know, ended things at the correct time. But I'm a chronic, and I have been in this apartment too fucking long. I've been here too long.
I mean, I am definitely into long-term relationships, but I got married at 19.
Oh,
and so like, yeah, you grow up a Christian kid and you just like stay with whoever it is that you fucked. And so it worked for longer than it probably should have. But like, after that, like I dated for a while and then I met Kelly, my girlfriend, and she's fucking incredible. So
I think when you stay in something too long, it can make the toxic stuff happen. Whereas like the relationship does serve a purpose for some certain period of time and then it's just time to move on. Mm. I don't know who gets out at the right time, but I want to meet that person. That's a skill.
That's so healthy. Like, that's so healthy when you see somebody, you're just like, you know, it's just not right anymore. I'm just like, fuck you. Like, what's
No, I want to drag this out and have every fight walking through the streets of New York humanly possible. I just want to fight in public. I want to be late to events because we're arguing.
Otherwise, you have to break up when it's still kind of good.
Yeah, you kind of have to know that it's on its way down.
But then it's like, well, but what do you mean? It's not awful.
Right, exactly. I don't want to die.
You have to wait until it's worse than being alone. Which, I mean, depends on who you are. That might be a pretty, might be able to get pretty bad.
I've had people in New York specifically stay together wildly too long.
Because of the rent.
Because of rent. Yeah,
that was another. Like,
I mean, I hate you, but truly, I also can't afford to live alone.
That is truly a consideration in one of my, I think that was a big part of it. Rent was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck, especially with women.
Oh my gosh. Well,
are you hauling?
I have the opposite problem. I'm like, I would love to move in with somebody. The walls in my apartment are so thin that I'm like, if I fucked even a mouse, you'd know immediately. It's so...
That's so funny. What would that even... What would, like, just the squeaking over and over again? Or like a Mickey Mouse sound? I'm trying to figure out what that would sound. Is someone having a seizure on a chew toy right now? What is that?
And look, you know me. I wouldn't fuck a fly, but...
Is Maddie whittling? What's going on?
But yeah, that's like where I'm at with this apartment. But the second piece of it is my apartment cursed? Because my refrigerator broke, flooded. My AC, you know, broke. My computer fell off the counter. Or do you think I've just lived in this space long enough with it doing too many functions? You know what I mean?
That things are bound to happen.
That things are bound to happen.
Yeah, it might just be a sample size of that many years of your life.
Right, exactly. And like, it just feels cursed.
I think you've outgrown it. I mean, you've obviously outgrown it. You've done every fucking thing and every person that you could. And then, like, it can't handle you anymore. That's all it is.
It's sex. That's really,
I think the apartment's like, you know what? You could do better. And and it's just like, I'm going to make you want to leave.
Yeah, it really is that it's not you, it's me. I'm going to break the ice box. I'm going to be so bad that she has to break up with me.
That's truly, don't do that, everybody. Don't create drama in your relationship to get the other person
it's
to
very
break
bad.
Up with you. It's really bad.
But I did learn through media that some people do that.
Through media?
I learned through, I was going to say like Disney Channel, but it wasn't Disney Channel. But there's like, it's just like a thing in movies. I don't think I even know anyone personally who has done that.
Oh,
but it's
just, I do.
Oh, for sure. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Self-sabotaging.
Self-sabotaging. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I know all sorts of those people.
Oh, yeah. It's a big... Self-sabotage is probably one of the most fascinating topics to me as an artist and also like person who's had bad relationships.
I feel like I know a lot of trans people who like when they're transitioning, like they like end up like getting to a place where like they almost seem like they like aren't allowed to be as happy as they finally are. And they start to like fuck up their relationships. Which is like, no, you can actually, you're actually fine. And like, if you just stop like, you know, trying to make something that's not there. I don't know. I just feel like so many times people are like, no, I can't be happy. Like something's got to be wrong.
I feel like that's where a lot of self-punishment comes from. It's like, oh no, I feel like I don't deserve this happiness. Yeah. So let me create a problem. So I feel like I'm suffering as much as I deserve
to. Sure. It's a big, it was a huge problem for me. And it's still one that I like actively think about probably every day.
Oh, like, I know I do that to myself too. It's like,
yeah. But I am leaving this apartment and I'm messing around, although I do think I might be hexed, and I want this to be put on the record before my flight tomorrow because I'm having a lot of trouble with technology. And if the flight goes down, I just want to let everyone know that I love you very much and please undo this curse in time for my flight.
Who should we put in this apartment? Maybe that's what we need to do. We need to write.
Do you want my apartment?
Yeah.
Wow. You can have my apartment. My broken AC apartment the last 5 days of this lease if my flight goes down
tomorrow. God, if anyone's a pilot, don't like drink tonight. I don't know, that'd be so bad.
But truly, like, thank you everybody for making this move possible, the patrons. I really needed it, and thank you. And I will weirdly miss this part of my life where it's like all like the underdog, you know what I mean?
I mean, like, you've done a ton. I mean, I didn't realize it was all, like, within, like, that small amount of time.
Yeah. Well, so. I've lived down here for, like, 6 years, so there's...
Well, I mean, everything's relative, I guess.
Yeah.
It just seems like you've done a ton.
Well, so. I got very lucky over the pandemic, for sure. Not with the computer, the AC, the fridge or whatever.
Grading on the curve.
What's that?
Grading on the curve. You've done great.
Yeah, yeah. It's been... You've done great. But anyway, that's my retrospective apartment gay hex from this week. Maybe not my best work, but the work that I could... The work that I could do on this day after the flood. Listener, don't forget to support the Patreon, patreon.com/WHGS. That's how we pay Alex. He is a full-time employee of the podcast. We could not pay him on ads alone. Me also. This is full-time work, so please consider going and donating. And in return for those donations, you get bonus episodes, you get comped tickets when I'm in your city. You get extended, unfiltered, uncut episodes, weekly access to my Zoom stream of my show in New York, and lots of other stuff. Patreon.com/WHGS. Listener, do not miss me when I'm in your city. I know you miss my TikToks and my Instagram posts, and sometimes you skip podcast episodes. I'm only in town once a year, so let me text you once a year when I'm in town. Or I can email you ashleygavin.com. There's going to be 25 cities on this tour. Don't miss your city. Listener, spring has sprung. Love is in the air, and that means you need your Helix mattress. You don't want to bring a girl home and have her crawl into your bed and feel like shit the next day, and then she takes it out on you and never sees you again. Help your boo thang get a good night's sleep on a Helix mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex. Take the 2-minute mattress quiz, and you'll find out which mattress is best for you. And it's no stress. You get 100 nights to try it. And there's a 10 to 15 year warranty. So don't sweat this decision. But I know you're going to love it because you don't have to take my word for it. Helix has been awarded the #1 mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Bailey, did you have gay sex this week?
I did not have gay sex this week. I have been out, like, on the road so much lately that, like...
That's amazing.
I mean, I'm trying. You know, if you have a car, you can just do it. You know, you can just go and, you know, post a picture so it looks like you were busier than you were. but I, yeah, I've been gone so much. And, like, my girlfriend's schedule and I, like, we're just so off schedule that, like, we get excited when we just have a few episodes of something to catch up on.
Yeah.
It's very, very hot, so...
What do you guys watch?
We watch so much dumb shit. I mean, like, but like, it depends on, we like, we'll be like, is tonight watching a lie or Alone? Have you watched Alone? It's like Survivor, like in fucking Alaska.
You've watched Alone?
It's so great. It's like not produced. It's not cute. It's like literally like people go out in the woods with cameras and they run everything themselves. It's great. So it's either that or then we watch dumb shit like, 90 Day Fiance or like MasterChef and shit. Like,
reality.
I'm a huge
reality TV.
We like kind of care, but like neither one of us is paying attention by the, like,
you
the
can
second
talk
half,
to each
you know?
Other.
Yeah.
You can do chores.
We're never sad that you're missing out. Like one of us will go off to take a shower and just be like, yeah, just report back about who's gone. You know,
do you ever watch Love Island?
Oh yeah.
Are you watching this season?
We haven't gotten to the new one yet. No,
I'm only 8 episodes in. So do you watch Love Island?
No.
I love straight reality TV.
You know what's funny though, it's like different countries are so different. Like the ones, yeah, like Australia is incredible. Like,
well,
the Australia
the most,
ones are the best.
It's some of the most sexism I've seen on TV. Australia.
Oh, I mean, that's the only reason why I watch. no, but like they're like there's like a camaraderie that, like, between everybody that, like, definitely isn't there for the London or the English one, the British one. Like, have you noticed that? I mean, like the British one, I don't know. Everybody's like just hates each other right away. And like the Australia one, I feel like everybody's just like a little bit funner. I don't know what it is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have not caught that, but I did. I feel like the Americans were more.
Oh yeah, they're terrible.
Like at odds with each other than the other two countries that I've watched.
Wait, I'm so behind. They're on an island together.
Virgin. so the whole.
Wait, is this on TV or is this a movie?
No, they're
a TV. It's a picture, but it moves. And sex is when you love each other, and this is both of those things.
I hope I really hope you're okay when I call you virgin like that. Oh, that's my favorite. This is truly my favorite thing. But we are still really getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Like, truly. But I think we're getting there.
I think we're getting like a, yeah, rapport.
You can fuck off.
But okay, Maddie and I'm used to that.
No, it's a show where I can't believe this just went from being a gay sex podcast to being
not very gay right
like,
now.
Like My Apartment and then Love Island. But Love Island, they bring on, I have a great concept, by the way, for a TV show called Les Island, but I'll do that after I explain what Love Island is.
Can't even imagine.
So Love Island takes place in a very fancy villa, like vacation home. Mm-hmm. They're there. But the difference between Love Island and every other competitive love reality show is they're filmed 24/7 and it's run in real time. So the audience can actively vote as they watch.
What?
And the response that the audience, like the things they tweet about, can then be brought onto the show.
Oh my God, that's so healthy.
It's very healthy. Super, everyone wants their relationship critiqued by the masses.
Perfect. Yeah.
I want to be like one of those YouTubers who's like, you can decide my life for a week. Do you know what I'm talking about? They'll put up like every decision and they'll be like, just vote on, should I have cereal this morning or should I go on a walk? And they do that for everything and they let their viewers like control their life for a week.
You want your fans to top you.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to make decisions.
I would love to
see where it takes me. You just looked into camera also, by the way.
Wink.
We're trying to get Maddie laid. I'm trying to get Maddie laid.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
But that's what Love Island is. And
incredible.
Then it's basically separated by guys and girls. They vote people off every week.
And they have to like pair up.
They have to pair up. And they can really all date each other. But I want to do Les Island, where rather than separated by gender, it's separated by tops and bottoms.
That's incredible.
Perfect.
Yeah. There's some other rules. But.
But please do tell.
Oh, there's a, you can switch once. So if you are a bottom and you're attracted to another bottom, you can switch. You're not allowed to tell that person that you're switching. Otherwise, you'll be eliminated. You can't ask them, oh, can I switch for you? It has to be done in the moment. You can't like plan it. And when you offer to switch, if the other person does not accept you as a couple, you're eliminated immediately. And you only get one switch per season. So you got to use it wisely.
Wow.
It's kind of the whole hinge of the game.
I feel like it'd be perfect too, because like lesbians are already used to like fucking and then seeing each other all the time. Like,
wait, we call the move-in day U-Haul. The first day, we have a, like someone comes in because they bring in new people throughout to create drama. So you're in a relationship, and some bombshell will walk in. So that's a U-Haul every time. We've got a new.
It's
U-Haul
not a
today.
Jeep. They just like back up a rusty ass U-Haul.
Beep. Beep, beep. They all know what's about to happen. They're like, oh my God.
They don't, they're not on an island. They're all in one giant coffee shop.
They all bring their cats.
That's so funny. But the thing that I think is bad about reality TV with trying to make like queer stuff is they don't know how to think about the dynamics in a way that can, all of the straight TV shows are based on straight relationship rules.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they bring in the queer shows and they don't work as well and they get poor ratings because they don't know how to do a different dynamic of rules.
Right, they're just like, here's a pile of people.
Right, exactly.
Go.
Yeah, and they're always like so concerned about the gender of it that they bring in every possible sexuality, gender, all that. They don't know how to like, they just don't know how to do it.
There's a very exciting queer show coming. Did you hear about this?
What is it?
Kristen Stewart and her fiance are starting a queer ghost hunting show.
I submitted for it.
Did you really?
I did.
As what? A ghost?
No, they like were like, there was a call for like people to go and be like guest like searchers or something, you know, to like go like fucking ghost hunting with them. And it's just like,
oh,
fuck, sure.
Wait, I actually do
have follow-up. Anyone do that?
I actually do have follow-up questions because I looked at the form and I didn't submit because I didn't have paranormal experience.
Oh my God. Alex, did you submit as well? No, sadly. Wait, you need paranormal experience?
Yeah, and I feel like I didn't have any. Well, because I couldn't be like, I don't believe in this. Ghosts, not gay people.
Oh, I thought this was gay hunting and we weren't going to find any. We weren't supposed, we were supposed to find evidence of it, but like no one's actually, right?
We heard there's a gay couple in this spooky old house. No, I was like, I don't really believe in ghosts, so I
that would actually make sense though, because no one's ever seen lesbian sex. So it's like kind of like the Bigfoot of sexualities. Like people don't think it's real. Sorry, I just had to get that riff in. You applied, what did you say your paranormal experience
no,
was?
No, I didn't apply because I was like, you know what? This is not my place. I don't have paranormal experience.
Wow, that's so honest. What's your paranormal experience?
I told this story about like when I was growing up in the house that I grew up in. I remember one night I was like walking down this hall and I saw this big like figure at the end of the hallway. And like it was like this big man body at the back of the hallway. It was definitely not my dad. And it freaked me out and I didn't say anything. Years later, I told my brothers and they're like, and they describe the same thing.
Shut up.
Oh my God.
And I still don't fully believe. I just like know that I saw something I don't understand, but I just don't get how to explain it. So like, I don't know.
Are your brothers gay too?
No.
Okay.
I want to know. Okay.
What kind of ghost
if it was, if it was yes, then what?
I don't know. Do the ghosts on Kristen Stewart's show have to be gay? I have a lot of questions about the gay niche aspect of the show.
What would, okay. So gay ghosts. Okay. So regular ghosts like slam doors and like open your cupboards and shit. Like what would gay ones do? You know, like they're like, they come and they're just, no, just like a box of dildos just fall over.
Yeah. I don't
just
know
like
what a gay.
Judging also, like, you.
Ghosts are usually like people who have like unresolved issues in this life. They're probably all gay.
Most ghosts are gay. They never got to come out.
Straight people die and they wipe their hands and they're like, well, what a run. They checked everything off the bucket
you're
list
so
there.
Right. Most ghosts are gay.
And gay people are like, is Sarah thinking about me? And then they come back 300 years later.
They have like a misconnections that they've been thinking about for 4,500 years. Well, Sam Morrison has a great joke about ghosts being so petty, like turning lights on and off and like knocking over glasses. Why not just kill people? But like, they're so, but that actually makes sense that they're gay. That's so crazy. What did it look like?
It was like this big,
shadowy?
Like big, yeah, just like sort of the outline of like a big male body that had massive shoulders and like kind of just this domey head. And fucking, I mean, that was it. It was just at the back of this long hallway.
You get energy of it from it?
It just scared the shit out of me. And I turned around and I couldn't even, I didn't say anything about it.
That's so nuts.
And
your
so all
saw
of us
it
saw, the, like,
it look,
described
it
the same
human,
thing.
Or did it look human?
It was just like the outline.
You said it had a dome head. Are we sure it's not
it
a
was
strap
like,
on?
No, it was like, I mean, it was as tall as like the ceiling. It was basically like 8 foot tall because it was like basically the whole back of the hallway. And it was just, you know, the shoulder shape. And then like somebody who like doesn't have a neck because they work out too much, you know, that kind of shape of a head. Yeah.
Well, I have to ask you if you have a gay sex story that you want to share, even though that was very vulnerable of you to share your Kristen Stewart paranormal story.
I was like,
as
wait,
well.
Vulnerable? What did we? Okay.
No,
yeah,
I think that shit is vulnerable because people make fun of people for like ghost stories.
Oh, I make fun of
like
people
that.
For it. I mean, right? I've seen things, but like, I'm also like, I don't know. I don't know how to
right.
explain
like,
it. So
I'm sort of the same way where it's like, well, I'm pretty sure I just saw a ghost, but also probably what weird thing in our home was casting light in a certain way, you know.
I think our brains just see the certain things we don't understand, and then we attribute things to it. So.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So real like so when I first came out as trans, I was going to like sex parties in the city here, and like they were like have like incredible parties, like really sweet, like people, like very like supportive, and like it was like where I got like really like validated for who I was and I was like able to like really like hook up with like all sorts of different people, but I also just like sometimes would go because I just wanted to be around people who like actually were attracted to me. And I remember at one point I was like going to these and I would go early and I'd like volunteer to help set up. Like I'm so boring actually. I just wanted to be there. Yeah,
party.
It was very, very hot.
It's like so cute.
It's actually really adorable.
But like the party, it would start like at, I think it started at like 11 and until like 12:30 it was like only kissing. And then it was like, and then a certain time it went to like touching. And then basically everything after 1:30 was like whatever you could find.
You leave at 1:30, okay?
I would love to go to an 11 p.m. kissing party. That sounds right my speed right now.
It was very cute.
Just to watch.
Yeah.
It was really, yeah, it was like really most of my sex with like men really only happened at those parties. Like minimal times anywhere else outside of those parties.
And what kind of, sorry. When you went to these parties, you were saying like, well, I have a question about just like you got married when you were 19.
Yeah, yeah.
To a man.
No, to a woman.
Oh, to a woman.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. So you were out. Oh.
So I didn't, I transitioned like.
I'm so fucking dumb. Did you just see me not be. Did everyone at home was like, you're.
Guys, so I'm Bailey Pope. I'm a trans woman. she, her. And take two.
No, I'm just so progressive. I'm just so liberal.
I just see who you are.
I just see your soul, and I can't imagine another human being.
Wow. Wow, that makes one of us. So
did you come out in...
When I was still married.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, I came out twice, if that...
Right.
It doesn't make sense, but...
No,
so
it makes
like,
sense now that you've clarified your identity to me, because I'm a fucking idiot.
Well, okay, like, so it might still... You might still get surprised. So basically, like, in, like, 2012, I came out as trans, and then everybody in my life was pissed. Like, my parents were pissed. My wife was going to leave me, and I was still going to church at that time, and so I told them that I prayed, and I'm going to be fine. And I didn't transition. And so then like 2 years later, I was like, oh, wait, actually, for real this time. And
I remember that thing that I said 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I actually really want to stick
really,
with
it's going to stick this time. I feel good about this one. So I did again. And then, so my ex, my wife at the time, she was like supportive, like at the time, but we were poly as well.
Yeah.
And so she like kind of was just getting, like she was just had like boyfriends and stuff that she actually like was connecting with. And I was the one that paid bills and shit. She didn't really like, she wasn't really into it anymore. And so then as soon as I actually came out publicly, she like kicked me out of my house.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I mean, it was like, it was rough, but like, it was also like the best thing that could happen. You know?
The reason I'm asking is because I get a fair amount of messages from people in marriages
who are
going through the coming out process. And I can't think of a high, because you had a kid, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of a higher.
Still do. Still alive, yeah.
Not a ghost.
Thriving.
That was a dark joke. But but like a lot of people write in about that. And it's the most high stakes decision that you could possibly make.
Oh, for sure.
With a family.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're very happy with the decision.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. And like, I mean, my kid was actually super cool about it. I mean, for like a year before I came out, I was like, identified as like gender fluid, because that was what people called it at that time. I don't think anybody uses that term even now.
Yeah, not
but even my kid was just like, oh, but you're not going anywhere, right? Okay, cool. And that was like the whole conversation. And it was like, oh, so mom, all right, fine, whatever.
Yeah,
what's for dinner? So like that was super easy for like with my kid, who was nine at the time. And my wife was like, was seeming cool about it, but it was, I think that she was really just, you know, waiting until.
I mean, that's
she,
a,
yeah.
Not to downplay what you go through, but that's also sort of it's a difficult thing to go through, you know, as a partner.
Like, she definitely knew that I had like gender issues, like even from the time we were teenagers. But like, I don't think that she ever thought that I was actually going to go through with that. And so, but I do like, as much as it sucked and like the way it went down was kind of shitty, I kind of feel bad like when people are just like, no, like fuck you for not being on board. No, like just because I now identify as this doesn't mean that you also identify as this.
Right.
You know, like I think people do have to like understand that even it might take time,
it's
or it's just like not actually,
it's not,
know,
possible.
The same. Yeah.
It's a process that you have to go through with your partner to see if it's going to work.
It's almost kind of like shitty too. Like sometimes when people like are like, oh no, you're the same person. It's like, oh, I don't really want to be the same person.
It's like, oh, I think you're
missing
the point.
I see you exactly.
I'm about as different as I could possibly.
You're still the man I married. That's not how this goes.
But that's so interesting because I do think that's, from my perspective as a cis person, that's one of the most interesting conversations that I see happening within the trans community.
Yeah.
The binary versus non-binary aspect of the, like the whole spectrum of it, like not everyone you know, using they, them pronouns isn't always the safe option because some people have transitioned and their pronouns or her or his pronouns are very important to him or her. You know yeah. what I mean? Or like you want to be seen as this totally. It's such a nuanced case by case thing, it seems like to me.
Yeah, I don't think fluidity is like the default. I think that's kind of like how sometimes people look at like everybody is supposed to like have some sort of fluidity and like not everybody does.
Yeah.
And like that's fine too, but it also causes, you know, like sometimes it's just not going to work out and that's actually going to be best in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just wanted to ask because it's such a, I just have a number of DMs from people like in the middle of that process. And I think it's great that like you,
I've had
you
to like walk happy, people through that.
Yeah, you have a happy. Times. Well, don't DM Bailey. It sounds like
no, please.
She's
don't.
Done a lot of emotional
I did my
labor,
part,
but like I want to give people opportunity to see like the happy ending.
Oh yeah,
it's like a really seems like a, you have a really fulfilling life.
Very very happy. Yeah. I'm very happy. Yeah, I mean I think that like sometimes we get afraid to be alone in like a time of transition, but like. You're transitioning because you want to be somewhere different and so like do something different.
Yeah.
Ting.
We have that.
We have it.
Well, thank you. We're gonna, that was very vulnerable and thank you. Thank you.
Not funny at all though.
No, really.
Terrible riffs.
Really horrible riffs.
This is the worst.
Can we go back to the ghost stuff? Can we go back to how all ghosts have unsettled like self-loathing trans and homophobia?
Yeah. And they're haunting that ghost all of us? Is mad that I assumed its gender.
Maddie, did you have gay sex this week?
I didn't because I started Prozac. Sorry, I'm happy.
Boo. But
I don't, but I have a what is it? Finger blast from the past.
Perfect. No notes.
I had a story that this is just my like I think I might be. I don't know if the term is demisexual. I don't even know if I need that label.
We've been talking about demisexuality a lot on the podcast. Were you on those episodes?
I don't honestly remember because the word has been ringing around in my head for so many years that I can't even remember where it began. But I don't even know. I'm like, I don't have feel a certain, like a huge pull to that label, but I do feel this thing of like, I don't feel a lot of sexual attraction outside of like emotional attraction with
yes.
it. Like I don't.
For me, I have to feel super intellectually connected with someone. It's yeah. hard for me when it's, I have to find something. And I really look with certain people when they're like attractive. I'm like, oh man, give me anything. Dude, give me an interesting, I mean, interesting
it's the worst
hobby.
When you like go on a date with somebody super hot and you're like, oh, you're fucking dumb. I did want to fuck you.
If there's just nothing behind your eyes, I can't do it. My friend and I used to have this bit where we'd say, I wish there was a filter on Tinder where it was like, you could just show me people that fucking get it, you know? That's what I need.
A get it filter?
Yeah, because if you don't get, like, if there's just not a click, I'm like, I could care less.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I've been on dates, man, where I'm like, just please stop talking. Honestly, maybe if we just sat in silence, we could salvage this. Maybe if we did, like, a puzzle together. Like, literally any nonverbal communication that we yeah. could have that connects us.
You get that when you're like pulling conversation out and you're like, oh, never mind, go back, get back into it, put it back in.
But yes,
I said that to say that I think I can trace this to a while ago where I was on Tinder. I think I was like in college and I was like just fed up with it and didn't want, I think I only had it set to men at the time. And so I started using it to promote comedy shows and I eventually got kicked off of Tinder.
Yeah, I was about to say, can't do that.
I know, but I was like, this is the perfect scheme is ask 50 different men out on dates and then just bring them to
a comedy show. That's so funny.
And I was like, hey, meet me at this comedy club at 8 p.m. and buy two drinks.
Only works for men. Honestly.
Yeah, there's so many men that do that.
They're trying to get women to come to their shows via Tinder?
No, I actually know a couple gay men that do it, like that get like audience.
Sam Morrison uses Grindr and Growler and things like that.
Wildly successful.
Yeah, but it needs to be like, it has to be an app without customer service. Because if the app is big enough that there's customer service, you know what I mean? You're going to get taken down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put up a comedy poster in my profile and they took it down.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I promoted the podcast a little bit when this first came out because I was, oh, that's a good idea. Taken down. immediately. But I think it works. It makes so much sense for getting men there. You know, maybe that's how I can increase the diversity of my show.
Is set up a straight Hinge profile. Have a burner phone.
Tinder. Well, I would need one for the amount of interest this is going to get, because I'm going to put the straightest fucking photos on there. And then I'll just be like, oh, yeah, something about me. I have a weekly show at this location, and just catfish everybody.
What's Ashley's straight Tinder bio?
Ashley G, because I've thought of this character in The Bachelor. Because I'm Ashley Gavin. But my straight persona is Ashley G, and she's a science teacher.
Oh, my fucking God.
Because I used to be a software engineer.
You could still wear those hats.
I could. I could still get away with some sort of masculine dress.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my persona.
Oh, that's really good.
But anyway, continue. I went way off course.
Oh, just that I got kicked off of the app.
And... Oh, that's the story?
Oh my God, and then I farted. I'm gonna kill myself.
I thought it was the chair, Maddie.
I could have gotten away with it. No. Look.
I literally thought that sound was the chair. Did you think it was the chair? I fully thought it was the chair.
Mike's gonna pick it up.
Do you think Alex, did we get it on the mic?
Who knows?
Can we enhance?
If you are able to zoom in on a sound wave and see a little blip that's my fart, I'll jump out that window right now.
I'll jack it up. Don't worry.
We should probably just put in a fart sound effect.
No, because then you're gonna choose like the wettest one.
Yeah, of course I'm gonna choose the wettest fucking fart.
I win, by the way, and cried first.
Honestly, that is the moment that we needed, because now you were talking about demisexuality and how you need something to connect with someone on.
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of it's vulnerability. And I can't think of a more, honestly, hold on. This is so what I do on a date with when I'm dating women and they fart before me, I try to fart immediately to make them feel less uncomfortable.
Oh, we got it. Wait, I can't believe you can do that on command.
How the fuck is that?
It's not on command. Anyway, what? Now we've... Well,
but you just always have one brewing.
Okay, don't turn this on me. Can we just look what happened for a second? Maddie laughed so hard that they farted. And then I pulled a fart out of my asshole in the name of vulnerability and demisexuality to connect with you on a podcast host level. And now you're making fun of me for having a fart in my butt at all times. I literally just took one for the team. You guys took one for the team from me.
And the hex continues.
That has to be a shirt that you sell. Fart if you love demisexuality.
I feel that I did a service there. Also, I just made sure that we can keep it in the main edit, is what I mostly just did.
It was a really sharp waveform, too.
That was our slate for the end of the episode. Alex, please slate on that fart. But are you okay?
Am I okay emotionally?
Yeah.
Or physically?
Well, emotionally.
I'm not worse than I was before the fart.
Okay.
Post-fart and pre-fart, if I'm going to do an analysis, actually probably a net positive.
Okay.
It lightened my mood.
I definitely strained a muscle trying to push that fart out.
Did you really?
I feel a little cramped now. But.
Thank you for your service.
Wow, you're really an ally.
I am. All right, well, I don't know an ally of what. People with IBS?
People that aren't getting laid and are using Tinder mostly for just kind of jokes and bits.
Thank you for sharing. And thank you for farting and not super freaking out about it. And you, just FYI, you could have totally gotten away with it. For next time.
Next time. And there will be a next time.
Well, anyway, I think that we're done. I don't know what's going to top the fart. I did top your fart. I took your fart and I said, I raise you this fart.
It's definitely the way to end this apartment.
Just farting on
command. We're saging it for the next person.
I will say though, bottoming for a fart is probably the better pun. Bottom fart.
Oh,
whatever. All right. We're done. Now, at this moment, we're going to do butt plugs, which is incredibly appropriate.
Perfect.
Where can people find you? What do you want people get on the mailing list, I'm assuming?
Yeah, definitely the mailing list on baileypopecomedy.com. And Instagram, the actual Bailey Pope.
Maddie, anything?
Maddie T. Wiener on Instagram. My link tree is all my links. I'm putting stuff on YouTube. And I'm also starting a Substack, I think.
What's a Substack?
It's like a newsletter type thing. And it's going to be a lot of like queer essay writing, kind of, among other things. So if you're interested in that, that link will be on my Instagram.
I love
probably
that you're starting a
out.
Queer essay writing column before you have gay sex. That...
No, it's mostly gender stuff. It's mostly gender stuff.
Okay, my bad, yeah. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. And I don't know when this is coming out, but Philly, Ohio, Pittsburgh, Minneapolis, Milwaukee, maybe. Probably not. Irvine in November. And more to come. Get on the text list. Right. Goodbye, apartment. Thanks for listening, guys. One more time, tour dates, ashleygavin.com/tour dates. Sign up for the text alert, patreon.com/WHGS. This podcast cannot run on ads alone, not even close. You can donate as little as a dollar and you get bonus content. We're having a quarterly live podcast. So every 3 months, we're going to do a live podcast. And if you are a patron, you get to watch that. So that's cool and all kinds of other great perks. And then look, I've had many gay thoughts, hundreds of gay thoughts at this point. I'm running out of gay thoughts. So Maddie is filling in for me today with the gay thought.
Hello. My gay thought of the day is we were talking a little bit about like I use she, they pronouns and that explaining they, them pronouns to an older generation is weird. And I'm working on, but that I don't think it should be that hard for them because, okay, like boomers are the generation that's the most like you're a man or you're a woman and there's nothing else and you don't touch it.
Totally. Even more so than like generations before them.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's weird because if you ever met like an old like boomer who was in the Navy and every time they see a ship, they're like, she's a beauty. And I'm like, she, what are you? That is so much weirder than whatever I'm doing. You know what I mean? It's just metal. No ass, no tits, nothing. And they're like, she's so hot. And it's like, why? You know what I mean? I'm like, how?
They do it to cars too.
Yeah.
They gender machinery.
They think anything that I can get inside and control is a woman.
Bro, is that a line in the joke?
No, I might add that
now.
Yeah,
that's
but true. That's, so I'm saying, you know, I just think it should be a little easier to...
I love the idea that the control room is a pussy. Or pussy is a control room. Or an engine room.
Yeah, you can't find the clip, but you're like, I know what starport means or whatever. Like...
Starboard.
Starboard.
Starport.
Starport.
That's my favorite Star Trek. That's a great gay thought. I love that.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Guys, have a great week. Thank you, Maddie.